This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Europe doubles down on HPC.
And HP loads up for Sandy Bridge.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for February 17th, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. Looks like Europe is having a pretty big week here. You've been asking for news, and here it comes, and it's coming a lot of it from overseas, starting with the European Commission.
Yeah, we had a lot of international news, and like you said, yeah, Europe came with that big announcement. The European Commission put out a plan this week, basically saying they would double their HPC / supercomputing investment that they've been making. They've been putting in about $630 million a year, and now they're looking to up that to $1.2 billion.
Wow,
which is quite a bump. I mean, it's not an incremental investment here. They're actually looking to try to change the game there.
Well, yeah. I mean, this would be a big investment from the European Commission. They've been looking into its role in the supercomputing community. I'm all for it. This would be great if Europe could step up to that level of funding. You think of Europe as the original hotbed of the Renaissance and scientific discovery, right? So, maybe they can start to get that back.
Well, this makes sense, too, because Europe as a geographical entity has a GDP about the same as the U.S., and yet their investment in HPC was about half of what the U.S. was doing. So, I mean, they're trying to sort of regain where they really should be in this landscape. They should be up there. They should be a leader in this technology. And right now, they're not. They've fallen behind, actually, especially with companies or countries like China kind of surging ahead and making sort of much larger investments even compared to the size of their economy. I think they sort of see the writing on the wall if they don't kind of step up the money a little bit.
Well, I think if you're looking at the top supercomputing levels, the top 500 or even top 10 kind of systems, that winds up being true. If you talk about the HPC industry overall, Europe has not fallen behind China. China's done a disproportionate number of those very large systems. The HPC industry overall at the end of 2010 was a little less than half in US and Canada, and a little less than a third in EMEA overall, most of which is Europe, of course, and Asia Pacific, which includes China, is 20%.
Right. I think most of this announcement had to do with investments at the top end, not the top 10 necessarily, but certainly, the top 100, the top 500 in there. They want to get, they're looking to get their name on the map for exascale, which they hope to get before 2020, just like everybody else now.
Right.
So they're looking to work with probably a lot of this funding would go into organizations like PRACE, which basically, manages and trains this sort of area for the very top-end computers.
Well, this announcement certainly did not claim that Europe would be the first to the exascale level. They were talking about exascale by the end of the decade, which, is that 2019 or is it 2020, depending on how you end your decades? Or there might be a metric system thing in there that I'm not aware of. But, we've been hearing 2018 as a target for the first exascale systems, at least from DOE. So presumably U.S. or China is still on track to be first.
Right. I would not necessarily expect the European Union to come up with the first exascale system, but it should be very much up there. Like I said, it's really a very large entity economic-wise. I mean, if you treat it as one, not one country, but one economic unit, and
right.
They should be up there with the U.S. as far as leadership. So,
well, and if there's anyone who I think really ought to be looking at this as potentially good news, it might be Bull, because if the European Commission is going to be buying these very large supercomputers, you wonder if Bull is granted any sort of home field advantage in bidding on those.
Right. I think some of the policy around this plan is actually to sort of encourage and give some preferences to European Union companies and countries with some of the technologies. So yeah, I think Bull and some of the other component makers, and especially software makers in Europe, will probably look at this and be very pleased if that money gets allocated. I mean, this is a plan. There's really no concrete evidence that the money was in hand and they were about to spend it or anything like that.
Yeah. Now, what's really unusual to me, though, is that this announcement is coming right in the depth of the Eurozone crisis. I mean, you know, this is a plan that's gotten announced. I have concerns on the flip side of how this is going to be funded.
Right. I mean, that's the big question. Although, you know, I mean, looking at this, it's not a lot of money when you look at the whole European Union, even in a crisis. I mean, this is an extra 600 million euros.
An extra 600 million euros is a lot of money when you're talking about the crisis in Europe right now.
Yeah, certainly in Italy. But, I mean, this is kind of chump change. They've got a lot bigger projects going on in there. But, yeah, I mean, it does seem sort of odd timing in that there's a lot bigger problems right now with the euro and in the eurozone. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. The plan's out there. And then, well, I guess we'll just have to watch and see if this money gets allocated and the plan goes through. It certainly is aggressive, and certainly we'd like to see it happen.
Yeah, so that, I mean, the fundamental question I have is how that allocation works. I admit I don't know how much autonomy the EC has in spending money that it might already have allocated from the member countries. And whether that money is even if they do have it with that authority, whether it's subject to reappropriation, if Monty can't save Italy and Germany has to bail them out, and you know, does Angela Merkel really want to be spending an extra 600 million euros on supercomputing for Europe if she's the only one funding it?
Right, right. Well, that's the problem with Europe in general. I mean, It's still a bunch of independent nations, but the European Union is sort of this weak governance body over top of this. But yeah, right now it's not everybody's getting along all that well because of this crisis. So yeah, I think there's a lot to be done there.
Absolutely. But despite, you know, the Eurozone crisis, we've been seeing a lot of installations also coming down in Europe. You know, there's been some big news on the end user side, regardless of this announcement.
Right, right. I mean, we just saw this week also the Edinburgh Parallel Computing Center. They just announced they brought up the first BlueGeneQ in Europe, which is an 800 mm-hmm. Teraflop system, and then they brought up the new Hector, which is a Cray machine. They upgraded it, and that's also 800 teraflops. They've
right.
got, you know, over a petaflop of computing just at that one facility in the UK. So yeah, they're not hurting for flops right now, certainly.
Well, and to me, the more significant announcement, although there wasn't as much detail about it, is a very terse press release. But Total, the energy company, announced that they have purchased a 2.3 petaflop supercomputer from SGI. It's a large scale ICE-X machine, which I believe Total already may have had the largest commercial HPC site, and this would certainly be the largest scale supercomputer at a commercial site.
Oh, by far, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, what number two would be, but I know there's
Have we seen one at a petaflop yet?
I don't think so. Not one at least that's public. There might be one out there hidden in somebody's basement somewhere that nobody wants anybody else to know about in some financial institution.
Well, it's probably in the basement because these things are pretty heavy and you can't put them on the upper floor.
That's true. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe Goldman Sachs has one that's a petaflop and they're just not talking about.
Yeah, I doubt they'd have one that's two petaflops, though.
Two petaflops, no. And this is definitely a big buy. And usually, I mean, at this level, this is a leading edge. This is a top 10 supercomputer. Usually you don't see commercial organizations in that arena. So this is really an outlier in that sense.
Absolutely. But Total has been investing big here. So a lot going on in Europe. Plus, you know, we should mention, even though it's not in Europe, Japan has a new 800 teraflop supercomputer from APRO with GPUs in it. So we can make Japan an honorary European country for the sake of this podcast.
Right. They just, at the Tsukuba University, right, they just brought that one up. That's an interesting one. It's got a lot of GPUs, and they're actually doing some research there to actually do some custom, a custom GPU cluster that they're going to kind of glue onto the back of the APRO cluster and get a petaflop out of the whole thing. But some sort of interesting state-of-the-art GPU work there. But right, that one in Japan, so that was kind of big news for over there in Asia. And then we saw, you know, even one, there's another BlueGeneQ going into Australia and the University of Victoria. That's going to be another 800 petaflop or teraflop system. That's coming down in June. So Australia bought one as well. So we're seeing quite a bit overseas this week somehow.
That's right. Well, it all came down overseas. Now we know there's big news coming in the U.S. Over the course of the year, but an interesting international theme here.
Yeah, definitely. And I think of the only kind of interesting news in the U.S. or at least the bigger news you caught, those HP announced sort of surreptitiously Project Voyager, which is their sort of new line of ProLiant servers, but in that is some of the new HPC equipment as well.
Right. So we had a lot of the end user news, but coming back onto the vendor side, HP announced their new ProLiant Gen 8 servers, which includes the ProLiant SL200S series of Gen 8 servers, which are more their HPC line that are GPU enabled. There's a 230S that's one GPU. There's a 250S that's three GPU. There's an SL270S that's up to eight GPUs, which I think is new. I don't remember them having an eight GPU version before.
That is a lot of GPUs to put in a dual socket server. I don't even know how they do that unless they have like an industrial strength fan in there.
These servers will be they're designed around the new Intel Xeon Sandy Bridge processors, which are yet to be announced. So there's no performance claims around these servers yet, but they are talking about the configurations, the Sandy Bridge processors, and then of course they've also got the Mellanox 56 gigabit FDR InfiniBand, which is new from previous generations.
Right, so basically they've refreshed the line there in across the whole line, and in HPC they've got the Sandy Bridges, and even HP like APRO has deployed some of the Sandy Bridge Supers. Even though that's not officially launched, there's one in Purdue right now, I know, and there's a few more.
That's around. Right. The Carter system at Purdue is the largest public installation of this new generation of servers, and that was actually on the last top 500 list. It's a top 500, or sorry, it's a top 100 system. It's in the 50s, I think.
Right. I think there's actually 10 or 12 Sandy Bridge systems on the top 500 list, even before. That's got to be some kind of record. Before you actually launch a processor, you've got like a dozen systems on a top 500 list, like, you know, 6 months before a launch. That's kind of weird. But yeah.
It's just they're all secret. We can't talk about them at all. It's numbers, except we can run Linpack and put it up there. Now, I wanted to expand on something else you said with regard to Project Voyager. Project Voyager is their code name that's a lot beyond just these servers, and well beyond HP as well. Project Voyager for HP is kind of an umbrella positioning that includes architecture, it includes the servers, it includes a lot around ecosystem. As usual with HP, we see a huge emphasis on facilities. Right. We see a huge emphasis on RAS. Those exist in the HPC lines of things as well, and should be particularly attractive on the high-performance business computing side to get that level of emphasis on facilities, on power management, on serviceability, those sorts of things. And those all bubble through this ProLiant line.
Right, and I think that's their main thrust. Their press release that HP put out this week on Monday basically didn't even mention HPC at all, or these new GPU hybrid systems. They were talking about the business computers for the mainstream enterprise. So yeah.
Well, I think the HPC-related press for this announcement will probably wait until Sandy Bridge launches and they can start talking about the actual performance of these systems.
Right. I mean, it's not too hard to figure out the performance of Sandy Bridge now. I mean, you do a little calculations with the systems that are out there. You know how many GPUs are there.
Right.
You know what the performance is on those GPUs. You do a little algebra, and sure enough, the Sandy Bridges, you know, are going to be like in the 140 to 180 gigaflop range, depending upon their clock speed and core count and that sort of thing. But
well, and I think when Sandy Bridge comes out, we're going to be talking about a lot more than just HP's line. And this is a good chance for us to talk about what is new with the HP systems while they're the only ones making the announcement.
Right. Yeah, as soon as it's officially launched, obviously other vendors are going to come in and say, we've got this too. I mean, some have already done that. I mean, Apro obviously has been shipping these things for a while. But yeah.
And that's why for HP, it's important that they're... main benefits are on things other than the processor performance, because other people will put out blades and nodes that have Sandy Bridge in them, and HP chooses to put a lot of its differentiation on facilities and RAS.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, that should probably wrap up the news for the week. That was a lot of news, a lot of international news to digest, and I think we're going to have some interesting announcements next week, and we'll be up on those as well.
Fun stuff as always, Michael.
All right, until next week.
Great, thanks. Oh, talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.